This week, I'm beginning a new sermon series. Maybe it's better described or characterized as mini-series. Today and next Sunday, I'll be focusing on the value of church upbringing. The value of raising children in the church and how each of us plays an important role in that upbringing. The wisdom of Solomon, declared in Proverbs 22, says that we should train up our children in the way they should go, so that when they're old, they will not depart from that training. There are a good many of us who have had the benefit of being raised in the church. There are a good many of us who have raised our children in the church, which is proof positive that the church is important to our families and has a meaningful place in our lives and in the lives of those that we love and care about. Today's lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, second chapter, beginning in verse 22. You'll find that in your pew Bible on page 832. Jesus presented in the temple. Hear the word of the Lord. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple court. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after their marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their hometown, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of God for the people of God. What we have taken place here, this passage is deeply significant to the life of Hebrew parents and their children. This ancient ritual of purification had been passed down from generation to generation for centuries from when it was first required by the law of Moses. The law states that the firstborn was to be brought to the temple when the child was 40 days old. Make an offering of lamb. If they couldn't afford a lamb, they were to bring two doves or two young pigeons. Joseph and Mary, being devout Israelites, knew that taking their firstborn son to the temple to be consecrated, to be set apart, to be dedicated to the Lord was a priority for all parents. To bring Jesus to the temple and make an offering to the Lord was something that they had no doubt witnessed in their lives. And because they knew Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus was the Savior of the world, this was incredibly important to save their needs. So they bring Jesus, as described by the law, and offer two doves. In those days, turtle doves were commonly brought by the poor. Maybe that's where we get the gift that comes on the second day of Christmas. My true love gave to me these two turtle doves. But regardless of where it comes from, it's easy to see that Joseph and Mary are not persons of means. Suffice it to say, they're rather poor from working class family, if you will. And yet they come, they bring their child and make a sacrifice to stay in right standing with God. In the midst of this visit to the temple, Luke shares an encounter that Joseph and Mary have with two different people who've been seeking and even prophesying about this long-awaited Messiah. Simeon and Anna are both devout and deeply religious persons who were advanced in years and who spent a large portion of their lives seeking the Lord. Looking first at the encounter with Simeon, we see that he had been waiting for this consolation of Israel. The same consolation that we proclaim in the Christmas carol, "Come thou long-expected Jesus, Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art." The scriptures go on to say that the Holy Spirit was upon him. That same Holy Spirit told him that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah. The same Holy Spirit prompted him to go to the temple courts where he would see this child. And when he sees the child, he takes him up in his arms and praises God, for he has seen the Messiah with his own two eyes. And he can now die in peace, knowing Savior has come for the redemption of all mankind. You know, this is the essence of the gospel. Simeon comes and he sees this child and recognizes this child as the Messiah, the Christ, the promised Savior. And the same thing happens to you and me when we see Jesus for who Jesus really is, the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior, the Christ, and receive him into our arms, into our arms. We have salvation, and we now rest. Simeon sees the child and now sees his prophecy fulfilled. And he blesses him. Simeon blesses Joseph and Mary and Jesus. This elderly man gives them a blessing, which I'm certain that Mary and Joseph never got. The second encounter that Luke shares with us is the encounter with Anna. The mere fact that Anna is presented in the gospel by name is of great significance. Women were rarely mentioned in the Bible, and even more rarely mentioned by name, which shows us that Anna was a religious VIP. She never left the temple. She spent decades in the temple worshiping God day and night, fasting and praying, and at the ripe old age of 84, and gives thanks to God, and then goes out and tells people what she's seen. She's become an evangelist by sharing this good news that the world has been born. Our reading today closes by saying that when they had done all that was required by the law, they went home. They went home, and the child grew, became strong, and was filled with wisdom, and God's grace was upon him. Hallelujah. Praise. You know, God has given us a great gift in this passage, showing us the value of the church upbringing. The first thing we see in this narrative is a young family bringing their child to church, dedicating the life of the child to the Lord. They did so because it was the law, as well as having witnessed their parents doing the same thing in their family. They no doubt had seen other families doing the same thing. Bringing children to church was a tradition in the early church as well as the church today. Carrying on the tradition then and now because it's good, because it's right. The church is important to parents because it was important to them as children. One of my earliest observations of the Wyoming Church a few decades ago is that it is a church that has always been filled with generations of family worshiping together, three and four generations giving God glory for all the Lord has done. It's important that we teach our children about the love of God, and equally as important that they feel the love of God. All of them. The second point I'd like to bring out is that Simeon and Anna, who were advanced in age, left this family. At Wyoming, we do the same thing. We take children up in our arms and praise God. I would encourage you, each of you, to continue to do the same thing, to encourage these families. Show your interest. Children who come to church just by asking the child their name. And then remembering the next time you see them is of great value to the child. It's of great value to the parent. Ask them where they go to school, who their teacher is, things that they like to do, just like we do right up here. Tell them about something cool you did this week. It means a lot. And then remember it so that you can share that with them at another time. Shows them that they're important to you. Help them to know that they're important to God. You know, not too long ago, I saw a grandmother bring her granddaughter about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And they're sitting in the back and had one of those little baby carriers and the baby's in the little carrier. And when that little baby got brought into the sanctuary, I know there were 4 or 5 elderly people that turned around and just swarmed around this little baby. And it was awesome. I did have to tell them, you know, what's going on up here in the front. And like you, they laughed. They said, yeah, okay, Pastor Dave, I'll get with you in a minute. But in any event, you know, this is important. This is of great value. And we see this happening here again and again. People who have been worshiping God at Wyoming Church for decades, giving blessings to young families that bring their children. I'd like to suggest that we might all continue to do the same thing. Become modern-day Simeons and Annas. Become spiritual grandmothers and grandfathers, papa, mama, maybe aunts and uncles. To the glory of God, be a blessing to these families. Be a blessing to these children. In closing, I'd like to share a few of my observations regarding the next generation. I find myself in conversations on occasion talking about the millennials. You know, millennials can be described as persons who were born in the 80s and 90s and I hear a lot of people and read articles from time to time that highlight concerns about the future of the church, that the millennials are abandoning the organized church, that our children are leaving the church in droves, that the next generation feels to see how the church is relevant to them in their lives and in our world. Religious people inclined to believe that the church is in decline due to this exodus of young people. And I'm here to tell somebody I disagree. You know, I'm sure there are loads of statistics that we can cite that would support the loss of millennials. I'm sure there are lots of statistics that we can cite that would say even the boomers are in decline in church attendance. That even people even older than those boomers are in decline. In fact, I read an article last week that said 59% of millennials not active in churches these days. But it said 51% of all adults in America are not active in churches today. Pretty similar number if you ask me. What I see is a different picture. What I see is young people graduate from high school. They go off to college. But it's during those college years that some of our young people get out of the habit of going to church. Some people would call it the lost church years. Maybe it's too many late Saturday night study sessions. I might get a laugh out of that one. Maybe they're not in college and simply just taking a day off to recuperate from a long work week. Whatever the reason, churches typically don't see too many young singles, especially churches that are focused on family and family activities. But I see it here. I see young people. I see young singles. I see young families. And I know with all my heart that they feel, each of them feels the same warm welcome that we all feel. And young singles get married, start families of their own. They find their way back to church. Wyoming church. Just like Mary and Joseph, they come to the place where they know that they'll get that same loving encouragement that they got when they were little. And they want their kids to get that same loving encouragement from a community of faith that will provide the same spiritual foundation that they receive from the church. Is the church perfect? By no means. Is there room for improvement? By all means. In the words of Wesley, we're going on to perfection. And as long as we're willing to rely on God and earnestly seek the Lord's guidance, the church will always be a place of love and joy and peace where families for generations to come will be blessed. And I'm here to tell you that Wyoming Church is very well positioned to be the local church where the millennials will feel the same warm welcome that all of us felt the first time we came through the front door. I know the next generation will feel right at home here, just like we do, because they'll see people that they identify with. I'm here to tell somebody, my math is right. Our senior pastor might be a member of that generation, as well as other leaders in our congregation. You know, another church dynamic that I must mention that's important to the millennials here at the church is diversity. Read in an article published by our denomination, a Duke University study revealed that the millennials are more inclined to worship at a church that's diverse in nature. It just makes sense. They've grown up with diversity in every facet of their lives. And at Wyoming, diversity is something that is important to us, something that we continue to work on based on the diversity of ages in our congregation and in our congregational leadership, the ethnic diversity that we continue to see at Wyoming. you to rest assured that God's plan, in keeping with Jeremiah 29, are for good, for hope, for a future. And I trust that our church will continue to see those plans unfold in a very positive way. As we turn the page on the calendar tonight and welcome in the new year, we count down, whether it's 10 or 60. I pray that each of us, every single one of us that calls Wyoming home, will be resolute in continuing to be the same warm and welcoming congregation that we have always been, that we would be resolute in looking for new ways to be a blessing to others, as we have been blessed, so that no child of God, regardless of their age, would miss the blessing of knowing God's love. And God's love expressed in and through the ministry of the Wyoming Church. And that Wyoming Church will forever be known